couple weeks ago, last week, we finished a study on how to glorify God. So, I'm going to start a new study. Basic principles of effective evangelism. Now, Mark, you might remember I taught this to the target teams when they came up years ago. Was that about 20 years ago? So,
well, yeah, I wish I could say my memory was that good.
Well,
I'm looking
it's
over it right now. It looks very, very meaty and good.
So,
looking forward to it.
We're called to be witnesses of Christ to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission could not just apply to the remaining 11 apostles, because they all died within 50, 60 years or whatever. So how could the gospel message of Christ be spread to the whole world over these past 2,000 years if every generation is not doing evangelism and making disciples? But how do we be effective in this? We're going to study just three basic principles over the next few weeks, whatever. When Pastor Isaac isn't teaching, I'll be teaching. So, I was converted in November of 1972. I was raised Roman Catholic, but I lived like a pagan. I didn't know the gospel. I had never read the Bible. But as soon as I was converted and was hearing the gospel, I had this burden to start telling people, but I had no idea what to say or do. Even though at French Creek Bible Camp one summer, they said, "George, you lead the team of teenagers. Go out in the park and talk to somebody." How? I didn't have any tracks. I didn't know anything. I went to Bible college. They didn't really teach me. You know how I really learned to share the gospel was when you introduced me to E.E. in one of the 98 or something. But, so how do we be effective in sharing this life-changing message of Christ? If I were to ask all of us here your experiences, some of you might say, "Well, I can't do it, or I'm not good at it, or I've tried and I didn't know how to answer somebody. I didn't know what to say to their objections." Well, let me just say, there's ways to grow in our effectiveness. And I think these three basic principles help us. Now, let's look at our notes. The first basic principle is the sovereignty of God in effective evangelism. Why do we start there? What do you think?
Because we need his help.
Yes, very good. We need his help. We need his spirit. We need his power. Why else? Just give me some thoughts.
Well, if people don't know the Lord is their Savior, they go to hell and he doesn't really want anybody to go to hell.
That's true too. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
That he's almighty, he's in control.
That's true too, exactly.
Everything started from him. The creation of the world, us in the world, and therefore salvation has to also come from him. It's his work, not ours. We wouldn't have thought this up.
Exactly.
We're not that smart.
Yeah. That's true.
We're not interested because we're dead in our trespasses and sins.
Right. So
he doesn't sovereignly intervene and just go about my business doing what I want, and what I want to do is sin.
Right. And even from a Christian perspective, if we're honest, we might think, I'm not really interested in my lost neighbor today. I don't get along with him. He broke my lawnmower. He took my parking place. You know, they stole my tomato plant. You know, whatever. If we're honest, the desire to share the gospel doesn't really come from us. And so, I think this is an important first starting step to realize, to be effective witnesses, we must believe it and trust in the sovereignty of God.
Can I ask you, the first sentence here, salvation is 100% the work that something the triune, what's the F letter there for?
Triangle.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
That your
cat? I thought it was a real word, maybe I wasn't reading something. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Where are we in?
Up at the top, salvation is 100%.
That's her editor's eye at work.
Yeah, that's a.
Is it an of or a for or a missed letter?
Yeah, it's supposed to be of.
Oh, it's an O. Okay. It is a word.
I'm very poor at editing.
I thought your cat added a name. So, George, this is mostly off target since you want to talk about effective evangelism. Jack Miller, who meant to be with the Lord in the 90s, but was a very effective evangelist. I don't remember exactly when, but I was flying somewhere, not recently, like maybe 20 years ago. So I'm reading one of his books that had come out. I had read it a long time ago, and then it was revised and updated, like after a couple of decades. So I thought, well, let me reread through it. So something he put in there that was new struck me when I was reading, and he was just very plain. Speaking about it, he's like, the problem in the church regarding evangelism is that most Christians don't give a damn about the damn.
Yeah.
And so I think that our hearts not being interested in loss is the major problem. Now, of course, we could be lost ourselves. Of course, we don't care about
okay.
Assuming that we're saved. We have a lack of, we're not Christ-like in having compassion for the Lord.
And that gets into our second major principle.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right, that's next week.
Well, probably several weeks.
Okay.
It'll take us time to get through, even principle one. But when I say that salvation is 100% the work of God, the God of Scripture. Why do they say that? Because, like you said earlier, we wouldn't have dreamed this up. We didn't think this up. Well, we're sinners. We like our sin. We like being worldly. We don't care. Okay, that person's a Hindu, a Buddhist. All roads lead to God. So, when we think biblically, that's God who plans, who accomplishes and applies this work of redemption. I didn't think it up. Moses didn't sit there and say, you know, this is what we should do. Or Paul didn't say, I'm going to write a bunch of letters and have a plan of redemption. No, they're following the leading of God from the early parts of Genesis through Revelation. Redemption is the work of God. In Genesis 3:15, what did God say to Adam and Eve and the devil?
Said, I'll put enmity between you. I think he was speaking to the serpent, right?
Hello.
Between you and the woman, between your seed and her.
Yes.
You don't really want that seed. You can have that one or any other one, but I'm going to lose that. You can have that seed to lose, but
Daniel, will you pass them? Yeah, lines. Okay. All right, so, yes. Hello. Yeah, that's... We just started a new Sunday school lesson.
You can have a hymnal, or you can have this, which has been printed out.
Get me a printer,
Paul. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, we'll do it.
Okay, so.
Paul, I'll take it.
Oh, thank you.
We're talking about the sovereignty of God. That's the first basic principle.
You can either have this or this has nice big letters and they're all printed out. Excuse me,
Jordan. Let's see. We just started this new lesson. Okay, so. What he just said was Genesis 3:15. God says, I'll put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil. You're going to bruise his heel, but I'm going to crush your head. So, God is not taken back. Oh, Adam sinned. What do we do? What God had planned, redemption, before he made the world. God had planned to save his people. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So, somebody read Romans 8:29-30. Somebody else get Ephesians 1:3-8. Chapter 8:29-30.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified.
All right. Who did that stuff? All those acts. Did you initiate that?
I was God.
Did you? Yeah. It's God. Yes, the triune God. And specifically, God the Father. What does it say? He foreknows his people. There's an election. There's a predestination. There's a calling. The faith. There's a justification. And there's ultimately a glorification. So, salvation is the work of God. The triune God. The Father has a purpose. The Son has a purpose. The Spirit has a purpose. And they work in unity. It's not like, well, the Son is saying, I don't like that. I'm going to do something else. Or the Spirit says, I'm not with you. They're all unified. And it's all to the glory of God. Now, why is this important? It's many reasons. Well, one, if it's the work of God, Mark didn't wake up one day in 1988 or so and say, well, this Jesus stuff looks good. I think I'll follow Jesus and try him out for a while. Don't you hear people say things like that? Don't you even hear preachers say sometimes, well, try Jesus. Try the Bible. You tried Islam. You tried Buddhism. Try Jesus. Well, there's a grain of truth in that. But the fact of the matter is, that's a backwards approach. It's God that elected, chose, predestined, and it's God that sought out the sinner. The sinner wasn't going, gee, you know something? I'm a pretty bad person. I should see what the Bible says. It's the work of God. Amen. Now, that's important because that gives us this perspective that all praise and glory go to God. Amen. And not to me. Not even to a great preacher. Whether it's Billy Graham or Jonathan Edwards or George Whitfield or whomever. It's God at work. Bathroom's upstairs if you need. So, so let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-8.
All right, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Whose wisdom?
God's wisdom.
God's wisdom and prudence. And what did he do? He predestined. He gives us every spiritual blessing. A couple of years ago, we did a study. I wrote a little study about, I thought of, I think it was 48 spiritual blessings we have in Christ. Now, I can't remember them all. And then they not be an exhaustive list. But adoption, justification, forgiveness, abundant life, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, the list goes on. That's all because of the counsel of God's will and wisdom. And Paul said, it's all to his glory. This is important for us to be effective witnesses, that it's not really my job. I'm just a servant. I'm an ambassador of the King. I represent the King of Kings, and I represent his kingdom and his message. We'll go into some of that further, but you see, it's not like, wow, I got to do my duty. I better get up and go out on 69th Street or somewhere. I better give out 600 tracts today, or God won't be pleased with me. Now there's a truth that we're to be good stewards of our time and resources. And God uses us where the secondary means to fulfill his purposes. And we're not to be lazy or fearful, but it's still God's elect will be saved by God's ways in God's time, even if I'm not greatly effective. Now, when I talked to the target teams like 20 years ago, here's this group of teenagers from Birmingham. Some of them haven't done much witnessing. And I really praise the leader because he said, we're taking kids out and we're training them to witness. You know, not go clean the street or paint a house. All good things. We're training them to witness. And some of them were scared. And I told them, yes, your job is today is try to give somebody a tract. But guess what? There are 1,000 people getting off the subway. You can't give everybody a tract. You can't chase somebody down the street and tackle them. God is sovereign. Trust that the person that took the tract, God is going to use it. So when we recognize that God is sovereign in our witness doesn't have to be 100% perfect. I don't have to force somebody to listen. God moves. God gives us opportunities. God opens people's hearts and their minds to the truth. And now I know some of us are type A personalities. Some of us are more outspoken. Some of us are shyer. Listen, I'm not the life of the party. You know, I'm not the person who wants to just go everywhere and meet everybody. But still, God can use you, whatever your personality. Some people are just more outgoing and can start a conversation. We can get better at that. Mark and I will both say we're not the type of people that make friends as easy. Like our friend Wally, that I don't know if he still goes to cross. Wally talks to everybody. That's just the way he is. But he has a big love for Jesus too. And he's effective. But his personality, he talks to everybody. But still,
protesters at UP telling them the only way for Palestine to be free is if they come to Jesus. And having long conversations with people.
Yes. And he's a great evangelist. But still, whatever your personality, whatever your training, whatever you think your spiritual gifts are, we're called to be witnesses. Whether we give one person a tract, or we give out thousands in a day, or whether I can preach on the street, or whether I can or not. You see, we all have different spiritual gifts. Yes, but we can be effective witnesses if we say, I'm going to trust the God of salvation because he's given me the Spirit and the Word. We don't always do it perfectly, but God moves. Anybody that preaches, and Brother Jeff can speak to this, I know. Jeff, I know you've said, that was the worst sermon I ever preached. It had no power. And somebody will say, Pastor Sheely, that really spoke to my heart. Because it's the work of the Spirit. Now, we're going to end today at this point, just for time's sake. Let me tell you one story. In 1990, I was on an evangelism trip to Amsterdam, a difficult place, much ungodly living and sinfulness, legalized drugs. Legalized prostitution. We've been there for 12 days. It's a Saturday. We're at the main square by the train station. We have a team of like 20 people. Hello. And there's a guy. Who's been following the team for 2 weeks. He likes us. He likes talking to us. We bought him food. Gave him bus fare. But when we try to talk to him about the gospel, I'm not interested. So this night, he says to me, "Well, George, I really like you guys. You're such a nice group of American Christians." And I said to him, "Stop. You're not interested in the gospel. You don't care about the Bible or Jesus or whether you go to heaven or hell. You've just been following us because you've been kind. If you don't mind, why don't you just leave and don't bother me?" Now that's really how you're trained to do evangelism, right? That's really being winsome, right? That's what I basically said. And he looks at me, and he gets up, and he leaves. I think, wow, man, I really blew it. That was dumb. Yeah, it was wrong in a lot of ways. But I spoke a grain of truth to him. Well, guess what? The next day, our last day in Amsterdam, the whole team, we come from different hotels or hostels. We meet at the square. We all take the tram to a Dutch church for worship. We have some Dutch people who live there and are working with us. Our last day as a team to worship, and guess who shows up? This guy shows up. And he goes right to the guy from Philly that's a missionary, a church planner in Amsterdam. And he said, "Mr. Bill, I'm really scared about my life. That guy over there told me to stop pretending because I haven't listened to you. Tell me about Jesus." He got saved that day. They discipled him. They got him off the street. He reconciled with his family. He got training. He turned a Dutch merchant marine and had a good job. Now, was that the way to evangelize? No. I was wrong. I was harsh. But God still spoke to that man. So our call is to be a faithful witness of the truth of the gospel and leave the results to our sovereign God, who planned redemption, accomplished it, and will apply it. Somebody pray for us so we can prepare for worship.
If I would, I'd like to comment about that, man. You know, that since you mentioned it was in Amsterdam, I had learned that Dutch culture has a greater tendency to just be very blunt and frank with each other. They tolerate that more than other places. And you may have thought that you were being rude after the fact, but apparently the Holy Spirit knew that as a Dutch person, he needed a cold, blunt reproof like that, and that was what his mindset was prepared for, to make it come repentant. You know, God is sovereign in that, you know. Heavenly Father, we all here could look back on ways that we believe that we have failed, and even in our desire to serve, and yet, Lord, as I've heard said, you can use the crooked stick to draw a straight line, Lord, and we're grateful that, first of all, you called us unto salvation, and secondly, you called us unto your service, neither of which were of any merit of our own, and you're in the process of training a disciple, and you can even use our mistakes for a greater good, like we just learned with this man. And we look forward to seeing him in glory and hearing how you have used him as well. Now, Lord, we, as we go to worship, prepare our hearts that we would be receptive to hear your word and to apply it to our lives, and to be ready to share that with others as well, Lord, as you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Rob, we have coffee and cookies out there if you wish.
Okay.